Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning and welcome to Community Connection on Star 94.5. I'm Monica May. My guest this morning is Desmond Mead, and he's the president of Florida Rights and Restoration Coalition. He's the chair of Floridians for a Fair Democracy. He's also the state director of Live Free, the campaign, which is a part of PICO, and that's the Faith in Florida piece that we met him under several years ago. Desmond, you have just blown up in our community. A Miami native, am I correct?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Every now and then we get a chance to get an update on all that's going on. So, Desmond, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Well, good morning to you too, Monica, and to your listeners.
Thank you. Are you tired? Because you always have this bright smile. So much going on.
Yeah, I'm smiling on the outside, but tired on the inside.
Could be tired on the inside, yeah. And it's understood. You've got a lot of irons in the fire, and you're fighting for justice for so many. Gun violence is a big issue for you. Rights restoration is another big issue for you. Talk about that. You've had a lot of ballots turned in, and where are we standing with that? Are we close? Can we get on the ballots? I got my fingers crossed.
We have actually cleared a historic hurdle. A couple weeks ago, we were actually able to trigger the Supreme Court review of our ballot language.
Yay.
Now, this is huge because never in the history of Florida has a purely grassroots effort with no money, no funding whatsoever, actually collect enough petitions for a constitutional amendment that would trigger the Florida Supreme Court review. And we did that.
You had more ground support than President Obama had in getting elected twice. And the reason why I say that is because you were open, you were appealing, you were informative. You had, I say tentacles. You say grassroots, and I also say tentacles. That means you had everything covered. You were working it from the root side, but you were also at the head of this thing, and you had a lot of arms
going out
and understanding why we were doing this.
Yeah, from Pensacola all the way to Key West.
You did it.
We had people in every sector of this state, and that's amazing in itself, especially when you're talking about just doing it without any kind of major backing. We went before the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. We were very pleased with the hearing. Another thing that occurred was that typically when there is a measure before the Supreme Court, there's an opposing side. Mm-hmm. Well, in our case, there was no opposition. The attorney general, the governor, the Senate president, secretary of state, and other groups had an opportunity to weigh in, and no one voiced any opposition to our language or to what we were doing.
And so it's just this governor.
The governor haven't even voiced opposition in the courts.
Okay.
All right. And so when we appeared before the Supreme Court, it wasn't an argument. It was just an oral presentation because
gotcha.
We were the only ones that was talking.
Mm-hmm.
And it appeared that the Supreme Court justices did not have any issue with the wording of our language. And we highly anticipate a favorable ruling probably within the next couple of weeks.
I say to God be the glory, because the reason the support was there, we have more than 1 million people who don't have their rights, who should have them restored by now.
Right now, it's over 1.68 million people.
You see? That's unheard of.
Yeah, we account for over a quarter of the total amount of people in the United States who can't vote.
You see?
Yeah. And that's more people in the population of over 15 states and territories.
Alone. And that's one of the things when people talk about the state of Florida, I cringe. I put my head down because it is so ridiculous. What we're talking about this morning, restoration of rights, is that once a civilian does something wrong and they get locked up, providing it is not a heinous crime, providing it's like not a rape, it's not a murder, it's not any type
child molestation. So rape, murder, and child molesters are excluded from this initiative. But everyone else, once they have totally completed their sentence, that they be given the opportunity to vote, to have their voices heard.
Because I'm from up north, it never occurred to me that that was not automatic. And I'll tell you something that happened that really brought it to my attention, and that was 11 years ago when I first moved here, and we were doing an event at the Smith Center. Every time I went out, I always had somebody there with me who could register you to vote. I just happened to talk to this brother. And I just said, brother, are you registered to vote? And he put his head down. He said, no, I'm not. And I said, excuse me? He said, no, I'm not. And that's when he told me, he said, well, off the record, I have a record. And I said, that's okay. So he said, no, I don't think you understand. And I really didn't. So I said, but how would you not know whether or not your rights had been restored? Shortly after that is when all of it started making sense to me, because I had another friend who wound up having to move to Atlanta because her rights were never restored here. And then, as he explained it, but guess what? His was so important to me. Well, for two reasons. One is that I said, I bet you if you come by the station and we go online, I bet you we could figure this thing out. Ironically, his rights had been restored.
He did not know it.
But the second thing was, it was not a good thing, was that by the time it took for me to walk him back inside the Smith Center, somebody stole his bike. So as a radio station, I felt I was responsible. So we went out and bought him another bike, but at the same time, let him know that, brother, your rights have in fact been restored, and he is doing very well at this point.
That's a great story, because we're actually going to be hosting an event here in Orlando on April 22nd where individuals who think that their rights have not been restored can come and find out if they have been restored, and if they're eligible, we're going to help them fill out the application right then and there for them to send it in. We're going to be doing sealing and expunging of arrests. We're going to be trying to help people get their driver's license reinstated. You know,
this is a big thing. This is
going to be a
really,
big thing
really
that
big.
We're doing to really help people in the community, especially those who may have made a mistake in the past, but are now really just trying to move on with their lives and be productive citizens and family members. You know, in Florida, I mean, you have to be convicted of a felony in order to lose your rights. But some of these felony charges are like misdemeanors or worse. When you're talking about driving with a suspended license, or disturbing turtle nesting eggs, or releasing helium filled balloon in the air, or trespassing on a pier, or construction property. I mean, they're like misdemeanor-like type offenses. In the state of Florida, they're classified as a felony, and you would lose your rights for life. Florida is definitely an outlier, and that's the good news. Florida's only one of three states that have these type of policies. The bad news is that we live in Florida and have to deal with it. And so that's why I'm really excited.
Well, you're part of the good news. You're part of the good news that you really are fighting the fight for other people.
Oh, we're bringing it. We are. Let me tell you, there are so many people across this state that are excited. I mean, on the way here, I had a phone call early in the morning, phone call from a volunteer in Fort Myers, Florida.
Wow.
You know, talking about how excited they are about the event that they're going to be doing today. And they're looking forward to collecting petitions. And you're talking about people from all walks of life, black, white, progressives, conservatives, independents, I mean, young and old.
Because when you tell the story, everybody's been affected by this in some kind of way.
Everybody. You know, when you look at it, the state of Florida spends like almost three times more money, taxpayers' dollars, to incarcerate a person as opposed to educating a child. Whether or not you've been locked up, you're impacted. Because the quality of your child's education, the quality of public service that you receive, is directly connected to how much money is left over after they spend it on locking up people for stuff that they shouldn't even be locked up for.
Let me go back a moment. I was very pleased that one of the young brothers here at the station is part of a group of people, a group of brothers that have band together. It's 30 of them between here and Jacksonville. And they take a middle school, and they're doing it from elementary all the way up to high school, and for one full year, mentor a group of kids in there. I'm not going to mention the middle school that they're at right now, because I really am greatly disturbed by what they found and the things that they've told me.
Wow.
In terms of these kids not having access to computers, they don't have them in their homes, they don't have access to them in school. That means these kids are not doing homework. If you're not doing homework, that means you're not following up with your lesson. Now, if this is going on and these kids are in middle school, they're not going to make it into high school.
Pretty much. And that's that school to prison pipeline.
Okay, so think about it. When we want to deny the fact that a child's reading level in the third grade is going to dictate how far they'll go in life, and the possibility of a conviction later on mm-hmm. is extremely high. Forget about the fact that they've been pushed all the way through middle school and now they don't have any kind of foundation.
So, you know, I'm going to tell you, and I hope we get to talk about it later on, but just that issue right there
you see?
Is directly connected to what's even going on with our state attorney, Aramis Ayala, right now.
Well, believe let's talk it or about
not,
that.
This is actually connected. Understanding that the state attorney do have discretion, right? It's not just only discretion on deciding whether or not to seek a death penalty. They have discretion whether or not to charge a juvenile as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when we're talking about in this case where you see a governor that's overreaching his authority and meddling in our state attorney's ability to take care of her business, what happens if a prosecutor now do not want to charge our children as adults? Can the governor now come in and say, because you're not charging those black kids as adults, I'm going to put a prosecutor in that will? If he can get away with it now, mm-hmm. then guess what? It goes beyond that.
So as a community, are we standing emotionally in support? Are we standing on the firm foundation of law is law and right is right? Where are we?
Firm foundation on what's right. Listen, there's no doubt that there's a lot of people that struggle with this death penalty argument. And I think it's beyond that, mm-hmm. right? What this is about is can a governor or can someone outside of the realm of the state attorney office meddle in that affair or dictate how a state attorney should use their discretion? Because if last time I checked, discretion means that you have the authority to choose either way that you want to go. You have that right to do so. And so if someone chooses to do something that I don't agree with, if they have the discretion, then they're well within their right to do so. It's vitally important that people go beyond the emotional aspect of this issue and look at the far-reaching implications, right, of what's going on. I mean, when you're talking about prosecutorial discretion, even when you're talking about discretion that might be afforded to other officials, you don't want outside forces dictating how that discretion goes and reacting because they don't like the way a decision is made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if people don't like a decision, they're well within their right to remember that. And during election season, they vote the way they want to vote. But you have to be able to let a person that you've given authority work with that authority. Same thing with a principal. A principal might have some discretion at a school of how to discipline certain kids, right, mm-hmm. for certain infractions. If we do not allow that principal of the school to actually use his discretion, then we've really undermined his authority, and now that school can be in chaos.
Well, it's a situation where you are in a work situation and someone reprimands you and you go around that person
yes.
to get back what you want. So there are so many ways yeah. to look at this. I think that what's happening, though, is the fact that it was a police officer. I think had it just been Sade Dixon and her unborn child, I don't think that there would have been a problem not seeking the death penalty. I'm coming from my own personal gauge on this.
Well, let me tell you something that I've seen throughout the years, particularly with the African-American community, minority community. Whenever we let our emotions be our guide, we always end up on the short end of the stick in a worse situation, all right? Our emotions allowed policies like zero tolerance and no child left behind to be implemented. And because of that, our kids are now getting incarcerated at a younger age, even in elementary school. Our emotions allowed us to not say anything about stand your ground, right? And because of that, now we're having the Trayvons and the Jordan Davises and all that. So when we let our emotions think for us, then the people who do not have our best interests at heart will manipulate us through our emotions to have us support a policy that they know is going to hurt us more than anything, but we blindly support it because we move according to our emotions.
I'm glad that you said that, because when you bring up Stand Your Ground, I can almost remember the Sunday that I aired an interview that Val Demings, when she was chief of police, and I sat down and had, and this was as that Stand Your Ground was coming into play, and we both said, it's about to be the Wild Wild West here.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be any jurisdiction that we'll have control over. So what I'm saying is that no matter what your political preference is, read, look at facts, compare notes, compare, understand what you're getting yourself into before you allow the emotion of whatever's been passed.
Monica, it's great to get emotional about your favorite team or sports team. But when you talk about a life and death situation with far-reaching repercussions, you cannot afford to make those decisions based on emotions and not fact. And what I loved about the fact what our state attorney did was that her decision was based on some factual evidence. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I have yet to hear anyone come out with any factual evidence that says that what she did was wrong.
And they cannot.
Or just, to refute what she said.
I was getting ready to say they cannot.
None.
Yeah,
so if if you have a situation where you're arguing emotions versus facts, facts win every time to me.
Yeah.
So, now, I might not agree with it. I might not like it. But at the end of the day, you have to look at this is what's hard facts. And the fact of the matter is, guess what? It doesn't really benefit.
There have been a number of conversations, and I've heard a number of outcries, and I've heard a number of people in high places talk down on this situation.
Understandably so.
Listen, and I get it.
I could tell you right now, there is no way that you could even start to believe to even or fathom how a person, a loved one, must feel for losing someone. You know,
sure.
And so that space have to be given to the families that are grieving. It mm-hmm. has to be. But there's a thing. As a leader, your decisions must be based on the collective benefit, and it must be based on facts and not emotions.
Mm-hmm.
If a leader is led by emotions, then, you know, we could be in a whole world. We're seeing it right now with Donald Trump.
I was going to say.
We're seeing it right now with Donald Trump.
We're seeing evidence of that, you know, right now.
I feel that, you know, if Donald Trump feels that African Americans
are criminally minded. No, you have to say it like this.
African Americans are criminally minded. If he feels that, then he should go ahead and have law enforcement just round up African Americans without no data, without no factual basis for it. We just got on him about accusing President Obama of wiretapping his office with no factual basis,
mm-hmm.
right? That's how you feel emotionally. And so there is a level of expectations for our leadership that we expect to them not to just base everything emotionally, but to have some factual basis for their decision,
mm-hmm.
right? We can hold them accountable to that. And so I think that when we look at it, I see our state attorney as someone that we should really be proud of. Because number one, they're not acting like a politician. She's definitely not acting like a politician. All right? And she's basically, her decision is about what is best for her office, what is best for the people of Orange and Osceola County. And it's based on some kind of data, some kind of stats. And you know what? She was willing to be bold enough to stand up and say what the overwhelming majority of the country already knows. You know, it's just that Florida is behind in time, just like Florida is behind in time with restoring people's right to vote.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking to a very emotional, but his emotion is coming from his passion. His emotion is coming from facts. His emotion is coming from years and years and years of struggling to have rights restored. Desmond Mead is the president of Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. He's also the chair of Floridians for a Fair Democracy. We met as he was introduced as the state director of the Live Free campaign, which is the faith in Florida. And he was the one that introduced us to the difficulty former felons have in getting their rights restored. And we talked about the fact that these are just ridiculous crimes that they've been locked up for. It doesn't make any sense. And we have a governor now who has not made clemency easy for these ex-felons.
Let me expand that a little bit, Monica. Less than 25% of people who are convicted of felony offenses even get sentenced to prison.
Hmm.
All right, think about that
mm-hmm.
for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Florida convicts over 170,000 people each year. Right. And less than 25% of those people even go to prison. So where are the other 75%+?
Mm-hmm.
They're in our communities. They're in our homes. They're in our congregations. And a lot of times, even in our pulpits. We're not just talking about people coming out of prison. We're talking about people who are walking among us today in our communities that's trying to just live a better life, trying to move on, you know, and trying to find employment, trying to get safe and affordable housing, you know, trying to live the American dream. And they're being denied that opportunity, or at least have that opportunity more difficult to achieve because of these policies that we have here in Florida.
So this will be the last hurrah, so to speak, for this governor. Now we have Pam Bondi will still be in place.
I've heard that she's leaving.
Okay.
No, the whole regime. The whole thing is up for election.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, definitely.
Well, that's good. I can breathe a sigh of relief.
Well, why? I mean, because you know what? That whole regime was up for election the last time, and they got right back in. So the thing is that, listen,
well,
even though they're leaving.
I can breathe a sigh of relief because we're done with him for a minute.
Yeah, but guess what? You might get somebody worse. Who knows?
I think that it can only get better at this point. I want to believe that. I've got to believe that.
People said that after Bush, the last Bush.
Well.
And now we have Donald Trump. So guess what? We don't know what we're going to get. And that's why it's very important for your listeners to become even more educated and to actually demand more, be more involved and demand more from their elected officials.
Not only that, though, Dez, they've got to be registered to vote. And they got to get out there and vote and learn, be educated.
Let me share something with you. When the current governor first ran for office and he won by 60,000 votes, right? That year, over 808,000 registered African-Americans didn't vote. Over 808,000. Now, when he ran for re-election, even after saying a lot of disparaging things about African-Americans, to include wanting to drug test because African-Americans was on welfare and all that kind of stuff and was on drugs and that whole debacle there, even after that, when he ran for re-election, he won by practically the same amount of votes. And that year, the amount of African-Americans who were registered that didn't vote increased from over 808,000 to over 1.3 million.
Okay,
right. So guess what? Mm-hmm. It's beyond just registering. Mm-hmm. We have more than enough people, right, who are registered to make a difference and to have an impact
voting.
In election.
We're not educated.
That is the key.
We're not voting.
Because if I'm registering you and not educating you, then what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen an increase in the amount of people that disengage between the two gubernatorial elections that outpaced the amount of people that we registered.
Okay.
All right. So the key is, how do we get people who are already registered to care enough about what goes on in their community to take a few minutes to even just mail in a ballot?
Mm-hmm.
Just mail in a ballot. You
well,
know?
I think if we continue to do, and I say this, I've been doing this, next month will be 11 years. I always say throughout the year, it's got to be an educational process. Throughout the year, we cannot just wait until election time to talk about an election and the process and our responsibility. We have to do this on a regular basis.
Well, you know, we have some young brothers and sisters that's out there right now. Let your voices be heard. I think Miles Moraine, Zulu Dynasty, you know, and Saving Our Daughters. These organizations that are grassroots organizations on the ground, mm-hmm. every single day in this community, having conversations with our kids, having conversations with the homeless, really caring about what's going on in our community. When we learn to support organizations like them, or One Orlando, One Community, One Orlando, when we learn to support those type of organizations, then we can see an increase. Because guess what? You are not going to get everybody to go vote. But those organizations that are doing work in our community mm-hmm. on a daily basis, they have the ability to actually engage way more people than you and I can ever do. And so I think one of the important things that we have to do is support those type of organizations.
And I like that fact. But I also want to start putting a bug in people's ears, and that is to support people, period. Because we have a very harsh tendency to tear one another down before we ever support, forget about uplift.
Let me tell you something. I don't have to agree with you, all right? Let me tell you something. I do not have to agree with you. But if you're doing something that would improve the lives of people in my community,
get behind
then
me.
Guess what?
Get
I got to roll with you to some
get
degree.
Get behind me.
I don't have to, listen, I don't have to be your best friend. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to love you.
I say that all the time.
You know what I'm saying? But what I can love is what you're doing for our community. And if I'm sincere in saying that I want what's best for my community, then I'm willing to put aside my ego, put aside my emotions, and support whatever it is that you're doing. If I'm not willing to do that, then me saying I care about my community is nothing but a bunch of hot air. a bunch of BS, mm-hmm. to be honest with you.
I think that's going to have to be our last word. Desmond Mead always comes, and he rocks the mic whenever he comes to Star 94.5. He is the president of Florida's Rights to Restoration Coalition, the chair of Floridians for a Fair Democracy, and he wears several hats, but he has been very vocal about getting the rights restored to felons who have the right to have them restored. He is an ex-felon. He is an attorney by right. His wife was running for an office, an elected office, and he could not vote for her. Mm. He has a checkered past. We all have checkers. We could go checkmate in many of our pasts. But he's never given up for the fight for equality. And for that, we say, Desmond, we salute you this morning. If I could give you this piece of paper and turn it into an award, I would do it. I would do it because that's how much I love you and respect you, my brother.
Well, for all your listeners that's headed off to church today,
mm-hmm.
they could always remember that Jesus, Paul, Moses, they all had checkered pass.
I love
you. Know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They all had a checkered pass. Right. And these are the same individuals that we lift up and we rever today. We know that Jesus died for our sins. We know that Paul is a major figure in the Bible. But guess what? Paul used to do some crazy stuff. And if he did it today, he would be in max security. Yeah. Matter of fact, we'd be begging so he'd get the death penalty.
You know.
You know. So, but at the end of the day, God was able to forgive Paul in spite of all that he's done and use Paul as a major figure in the very faith that we're practicing this morning. So guess what? If he can change Paul, he could change Marquise.
Very interesting point to end on. Thank you so much, Desmond Mead. Thank you so much for listening, my friends, to another edition of Community Connection on Star 94.5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.